put our hands together again for your giving and for everything that you mean to the church, and we appreciate it. Hopefully you are ready to hear the word of God on this morning, so let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, praise you, love you, honor you, appreciate you for all that you are and all that you mean in our individual lives. God, thank you for being the God that has saved, sanctified, and is consistently delivering us, taking us from faith to faith and glory to glory. Now, God, I'm asking that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth, illuminate the mouth of the speaker as well as illuminate the hearts and the ears of the listener. Let no one's coming be in vain. Let us all be eternally touched and blessed, and move us further down the journey on the kingdom of God as we share today, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. With your Bibles in your hands, would you just repeat after me again? Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Simple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, teach me this word. All right, come on, somebody shout hallelujah in this place. Amen. We're going to start the sermon off by rolling in just two videos. The first one, they'll start the first one. The first one just simply says, Happy Mother's Day. We love our moms. And then the second one says, Mom, thanks for you being you. And thanks for all that you do. Both of those are just greetings, but the greetings are going to lead me into the sermon title for the day, and that is this: Being Mom, the Pressure, Fears, and Joys of Motherhood. Amen. So we're going to talk about being mom. Now this, if you are a male or if you're not a mom, all these things will find a way to bless you as well. But what we're going to do, we're going to cover both of those things, and they're going to put it up again: pressures, fears, and joy. And so for each one, for pressures, what we're going to do, we're going to have a picture that goes with the pressures, and then we are going to have a scripture that we should stand on to help us through pressures, and then we're going to explain pressures from the perspective of a mother. We'll do all of those for those things, for pressures, fear, and joy. We will follow that pattern. We will do a picture, a scripture to stand on, and then we will go into the perspective of a mother. So the pressures, fears, and joy. And one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about that is because normally on a day like this, on a Mother's Day, and you're talking, we only talk about the good things. But being mom is not easy. Now, even though I'm a male, I understand it's not easy. And one of the things that first came to me when I was thinking about crafting this message, and lately I have been crafting messages around the holidays, and one of the reasons why is because our minds are already there. So I don't have to bring your mind somewhere else. Your minds are already on Mother's Day, so it's easy for me to get something to you. So that's why I've been working this way for the last several years. But one of the things that hit me, and it's just a two-word phrase that I think many of you understand even better than me as a male, it's the phrase mom guilt. It's just the idea that I'm never getting it all the way right. No matter how good I do, and no matter who gives me accolades, when I go to sleep at night, there's this guilt that I didn't do it right. I didn't get it right. I didn't do enough. I didn't say enough. I wasn't good enough. And that creates pressure. And not only as a mother, but just as life itself, there's a way that we have been wired that always makes us feel less than. And when we lay our head at bed, if we didn't get everything right, and many times we don't because of the pressures of life, we feel this guilt. But it's a good thing to know that you serve a God who understands. He knows all and he sees all. And any of the guilt that we have that we carry, there's one place that we can drop it, and it's at the foot of the cross, and it's in the house of God. You may have felt guilty before you came here, but I need to let you know the pressure of the guilt that's trying to ride you, you can let that go this morning, because there is a God that loves you from the rooter to the tooter. He loves you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. All your hang-ups, all your mistakes, you can bring them to the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we're going to start and we're going to work with those pressures. Somebody say pressures. All right, let's put up the picture that goes with the pressures. And what's interesting about this picture is it doesn't look like it's filled with pressure, because it's a beautiful mother with two beautiful baby boys. But the thing that you don't know that's not communicated in the script, in the picture, it's then in the inscription that I didn't put in the picture that actually got cut off, and it had this word in front of the mom. It says, single mom. So while this mom looks beautiful, she's going to have to do this by herself. And there is not a father to help her be the mother. So when you are a single mom, there's pressures because you're doing it by yourself. And I need to talk to all the single mothers right now, whether you're single because the man walked out, or whether you're single because of divorce, or whatever reason you're single because the husband died or the father died, for whatever reason why you're single, I need to know you to know that you are seen. Because as you go through life doing stuff by yourself, it's not always known that people see you. But I need to let you know, single mothers, as your pastor, I see you. And I see the pressure that is taken for you to be what you are and do what you do and raising your girls and raising your boys. And in the picture, the lady was raising black boys. And if you're raising black boys specifically, you never know what the streets has prepared for them. Not just the folk in the streets, but the police in the streets. When you let go of your black boy, you don't never know what's going to happen. You don't know if they're going to come home. And when you're doing it by yourself, there's anxiety, there's worry, and there's pressure. And I need you to know, I see you. And God sees you. And even though you are single, you're not alone. Somebody say, I may be single, but I'm not alone. In other words, God is partnering with you in this. And the only reason why you haven't lost your mind is even in your single parenting, God is stepping in, making up the difference. And even though I'm talking about raising black boys, if you're raising black girls, you still got pressure. If you're raising white boys, you got pressure. If you're raising white girls, you got pressure. If you're raising anything, you have pressure, because life is filled with pressure. And when you don't have somebody to share the load, it's difficult. Now, let me talk to the men in the building. Many times we have our own families, but sometimes we have to be father figures for children that we did not carry the seed for, because these single mothers need somebody to show a light for the children that they're raising. Sometimes we got to stand in and stand behind them. And if you can't always be at the games and do things, I need you men, I need you praying for our single mothers. Because while you see them coming to church and looking good and smelling good and dressing good, when they go home, sometimes they cry themselves to sleep, worried about how they going to feed their child and how they going to raise their child. Young man and man in church and deacon, we got to pray for our single mothers. We got to pray for them, because they're under pressure. All right, now having said that, let me give us a scripture for how we need to deal with the pressure. And this is for anybody going through pressure, not just mothers, but specifically single mothers, but anybody going through pressure. Let's give us some words that we're going to have to use to help us. Let's start with Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and it's going to be on two different slides, and so I'll have you read it in its entirety. Mother Mitchell, would you begin reading?
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything,
right?
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
for any of us that are dealing with any kind of pressure, what I need you to understand is that there is an escape. There is a secret code, and the secret code is casting our cares on him, for he cares for us. And don't be anxious for anything. And it doesn't mean you won't feel anxiety, but don't hold on to the anxiousness and the worry and the stress and the pressure of it all. Turn it over to Jesus. Now, I know that sounds cute and easy because you can't see Jesus, but here's the thing. Why stress and worry about something that you can't see either? You can't see the future that you're worried about, so you might as well give it over to God that you can't see, because here's the thing. If God neither slumbers nor sleeps, why am I up when he don't go to sleep? So I'm going to turn some things over to him, and then the Bible says, and the peace of God will come in. And what we need for pressure is we need the peace of God. Now, I should be under more stress and pressure than I'm under because I'm dealing with a lot of things. But the reason why it doesn't look like I'm under pressure and stress, and the reason why I don't look like what I've been through, is the peace of God. The peace of God will step in and give you peace when you don't feel like you need peace. When you feel like you should be going crazy, God will settle your spirit and settle your mind. And you'll learn this, and this is something I say to myself all the time, live to fight another day. In other words, I can't allow the pressure to kill me today because I got to live to fight another day. I got some more pressures tomorrow, so I can't let the pressures of today get me down. I got to live to fight another day. So guess what? I'm going to receive some peace for today. Pastor Andre, how do you receive peace? Well, I pray. I read the word, but sometimes it ain't that deep. Sometimes I get in my lazy bar and kick it all the way up and turn on some Netflix, and that's how I get me some peace. Sometimes I get up in the middle of what I'm doing. I don't tell nobody in the house what I'm doing. I go to Culver's and get me a mixer, which is like a blizzard, and eat it on my way. I don't tell nobody I'm getting it. I don't tell nobody what I'm doing. I eat it in my car and come back and pull in the garage, and I just relieve myself of some pressure. Take a walk, swing on the porch, do whatever you got to do to relieve some pressure. Maybe you got to go to Amazon and buy something, but whatever you got to do, don't let this life kill you in one day. You got to live to fight another day. You got to look for the peace of God. Whatever it takes, and I'm not asking you to do things sinful, but I'm just trying to let you know that sometimes you have to grab peace, and sometimes the peace you need to get it alone. Now, I know single mothers, sometimes you can't always do that because people are always around you. Now, one thing I've learned as a father is I could be sitting right beside my kids, and they will pass over me to ask my wife for something that I could have got because they don't want daddy, they want mama. Sometimes Devin will say, can I just go to the bathroom? They'll be standing out on the outside of the bathroom talking about mama, mama, mama. And I understand sometimes y'all got all these things going on, but listen, grab you some candles, light them candles, lock the door, turn up the bubble bath and put some bubbles in there and have yourself a peaceful moment. Them kids will be okay. Let God deal with them kids. They're going to be okay. Sometimes you got to give them some melatonin and some Benadryl and put them to bed early so you can have some peace. Because you need it for these pressures. Now, don't overdose your babies and tell them I told you to do it. Don't do that. All I'm saying is you got to learn how to grab hold of peace, because peace is not something that comes automatic. The Bible says you have to seek peace and pursue it. So that's something for us to understand. Now let's give us the perspective on why the pressures are even here in the first place. Let's look at Genesis 3 and 20. Read.
And the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living.
One of the first times we hear the word mother in Scripture is connected to Eve. And what many people don't understand is we always talk about Adam and Eve, but her name was never called Eve until the fall of man, until sin entered the world. They were both known as Adam. But here in Genesis chapter 3, if you know anything about Scripture, you know that is where people got cursed. And that is where we first see mother. And then the Scripture says, through pain you will bear children. So here's the thing. Mothering is not easy because of sin. And I'm not saying that you sinned as a mother. I'm talking about we live in a fallen world. Even though we are saved and we serve God, we live in the fallen world. And one of the first places that the fallen world affects, it affects the mother. It affects mom. So I need you to understand, mothers, you are under pressure, but you cannot crack because we need you. You can't break because we need you. You can't lose your mind because we need you. You can't drive the car off into the river because we need you. You can't commit suicide because we need you. I know you're under pressure, but listen, that's just the life that we're in. Now, when you get to heaven, maybe you're going to have a sit down with Eve and talk to her and wonder how we got in the situation we got in. But I need you to make it to heaven first. I don't need you to quit right now because of the pressure. All right, let's look at Isaiah 49, 14, and we're going to explain the pressure a little more and why it's a little bit different from men. Now we are all under pressure. So what I'm saying to the women works for the men as well. We're all under pressure because we live in a fallen world. But there's another level that mothers deal with that's not quite the same as everybody else. And I'll explain to you why. Let's look at Isaiah 49, 14.
But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me.
Isaiah is prophetically speaking that Zion or the children of Israel, because of the punishment they were under, was saying, God just forgot about me. And let's be honest, saints, sometimes we've been in situations where we feel like God forgot about us. I'm coming to church every Sunday. I'm giving my tithes every Sunday. I'm worshiping, but it don't seem like God is dealing with me like he's dealing with everybody else. It seems like everything's harder for me. It seems like all my blessings come tooth and nail. Sometimes we feel like God has forgotten us. But let's look at the response in verse 15. The response that Isaiah was told by God to give to the people is God says, look at me like a mother. He says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? And then later on it says, though she may forget, I will not forget you. And I'll explain that. There are a few mothers that we've seen throughout history who have turned on their children. But that is what we call an anomaly. Most mothers, the moment the child comes out of their womb, they have this attachment to the child that no matter what the child goes through, they stick with their children. Now we have seen some people snap and go off, but what God is saying, he said, I'm like a mother who will never snap. I'm like the mama who's always going to be there. And if you had a good mama, you know what I'm talking about. A mother that will always be there. And my mother is here right now. And I've had a good mother. And anytime I've ever needed her, she's always been there. And what God wants you to understand, he says, I love like a mother's love. And here's the thing. The only way a mother can love the way she loves is because it comes from God. And God loves that way. So what I need you to understand, when you're under pressure, feeling like God has forgotten about you, I need you to understand he is the greatest mother of the entire universe, and he has not forgotten about you. It just may not be your time yet for blessing, but he has not forgotten about you. He may be silent in your trouble, but he's not forgotten about you. You may be depressed, but he's not forgotten about you. He knows the hairs on your head. Whether you bought it or whether you grew it, he knows how many hairs you got on your head. He knows how many lashes you got on your eyes, whether you bought them, glued them on or not. He knows everything about you, and he's not forgotten about you. He still sees, and he's working on stuff, and he's dealing with stuff, and he's moving stuff on your behalf. So don't you quit because of the pressure. Don't you throw in the towel because of the pressure, because he's got a mother's love, and he's with you all the time. And those you women who are mothers and know the way you love your children, the way you love your children in a manner that is not seemingly human, it is supernatural. That comes from God, and God loves you the same way. Now, you mothers understand this before I even say it. You can hear a whole bunch of people talking and hear your child cry, and their cry would rise above. I don't care what's talking. I don't care what the radio's doing. You know when your child is crying, and you know when it's a cry of pain, and you will rush to their aid. And I need you to understand, when you cry out to the Lord, he knows your voice. He knows the pain in your prayer. He knows your cry, and he will rush to your aid. He has not forgotten about you. He's busy, but he ain't forgot about you. He runs the universe, but he ain't forgot about you. I know you've been sick in your body, but he hasn't forgot about you. I know your money ain't right, but he hasn't forgot about you. I know your relationship haven't worked out, but he has not forgotten about you, because he's the greatest mother in the universe. All right, let's put this up. That'll explain it even more. It's pressure, because mother's love is the closest human thing to God's agape love, which is the unconditional love. And Apostle and our bishop preached on that last Sunday, talking about what it requires to walk in agape love. And so mothers, you actually function closer to agape love than anything in God's creation, because it's an unconditional love. It's a love that starts with pain. Before you ever see your child, you have morning sickness, and you have stuff growing inside of you. You have your child kicking you. You have contractions and labor pains. And sometimes you have to go under a knife and have a C-section and be left with scars. But the moment you put that baby in your arms, there's a love you cannot describe. I don't care how much pain you've gone through. It's something you cannot describe, because it's so close to God's agape love. So here's the thing I need you to understand. You can't quit, because you represent God's love to us. We need you women. We need you mothers. We need you single mothers. We need you married mothers. We need you church mothers. We need you spiritual mothers, because we see God through you. Now, I'm giving y'all a lot of accolades, but let me turn the corner. Have you ever met a mean, nasty woman? Have you ever met a beautiful woman that was so mean she no longer looked beautiful? She just looked ugly. Her attitude was ugly. I need you to understand, church, for the God to send the world in here, he don't want to send the world in for a whole bunch of mean, nasty church mothers and mean ushers and mean women in the pews. No, we need y'all to hold on, and we need y'all to give your hearts to God, so the agape love of God would flow out of you. And every time somebody comes around you, they say, that's a virtuous woman. That's a woman of God. That's a deliverance temple woman. Wow, that's a woman of the word. I need some more women like that in the earth. We need to raise up women that'll make a difference in the earth. Amen. And let me throw a corner on us men. If you got a good woman, stop looking for something else. Stop looking for what the TV tells you need to look for, and the shape and size that the TV tells you, because you need a woman that'll love you, love everything about you, that'll stand with you, that'll partner with you. You need a woman that sometimes will mother you even though they're not your mother. I'm not talking about telling you what to do, but I'm talking about sometimes when you're sick. See, here's the thing. When a man gets sick, we turn into a child. We want soup, and we want attention, and a good woman knows how to switch from wife to mother and just take care of us. And even though I'm in my sick bed, you make me feel like a king. You make me feel like I can do anything, because you got that mother's love. We need more of y'all. And we need the world to see more of y'all, because they're seeing all these other things. And I'm not mad at Cardi B, but that ain't the type of woman I need in my life. Let her do what she got to do. But I don't want y'all trying to pattern your life after Cardi B. I want you to pattern your life after a woman after God's own heart. All right. Let's go through the scripture. Now, Bishop used this very same scripture, and he did it in the Message form of the Bible. We'll read it in the, I can't even remember what I put up. I think I put it in the NIV. So we'll read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, and we'll have you read both slides on this as well.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others.
Amen. Read.
It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
It's always petty, always bickering. Always, no. Woman, if you're always petty, you're not operating in the motherly agape love. If you're always bitter, you need to get healed. Sometimes the reason why God hasn't allowed your relationship to work because he's trying to heal you from all the junk and the trauma you've been through so that when you walk in God's love, you can always protect. You can always trust, you can always hope, and you can always persevere, and people can say, I want to get to know the God that you serve. I need some people to grow up to be like a Mother Rankin and grow up to be like a Mother Mitchell. I need y'all to grow up, not that they're perfect, but at least you can see that they're pursuing godliness, and it ought to have a ripple effect. And as I was preparing this message, I was thinking a little sadly because at this time, it was a time that I knew Mother Bennett would have been here and would have handed out the flowers. And Mother King would have been here. And right this moment, Mother Woods is in the hospital. So our mothers are changing and they're moving to other, they're moving off the scene. So some of y'all young women, you got to rise up and be what God has called you to be. We need you to take the baton and be the women that we need for this ministry to move forward. We don't need no nasty, trifling women. We need some good, motherly, anointed, loving women of God. And I'll jump on the men for a second. Sometimes the reason why the women have such a hard time being motherly and loving is because we treat them so bad. So if we stop abusing them and stop cheating on them and stop acting foolish and put a ring on their finger, maybe they'll be a little bit better. So sometimes we got to do better ourselves. Amen. All right, let's put this up. Let's go to fears. So with mothering comes also an automatic fear. Let's put a picture up. This picture is a woman, and you can just see the anguish on her face. She's looking out the window, and it doesn't show if she's looking at her child or she's sometimes because of the way your child has treated you, especially when they get a little older, when they start smelling themselves and their hormones start changing. And sometimes the mama just got to turn her face to the wall to keep from you seeing how much pain you're putting them through. And let me talk to all of us who still have mothers living. Stop putting your mama through pain unnecessarily. Sometimes just do what they ask you to do and life would go better. Sometimes stop being so hard-headed and so stubborn because you put pain on them and fears. But in order for us to stand on the word of God, first of all, let's give us the word of God for fears. Let's put 2 Timothy 1:7 up and have you read that.
For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
This is what you have to stand on, especially when your children are older and they are adults and they're going out of your house and your space and you can't see them and you can't watch them. Some of y'all try to be Inspector Gadget. You can't inspect everything. You can't follow your kids everywhere. Some things you just got to give over to the Lord. You got to put your child in God's hands. I don't care where they are. I don't care if they're in prison right now. You still got to put your child in God's hands. You just got to trust that God gonna make up the difference. You done everything you knew how to do. And yes, you're worried. And yes, you're scared what's going to happen. And when your child gets to driving, you don't know if they're going to get stopped. And if the stop is going to lead to an altercation, you don't know what's going to happen. But you cannot live in a spirit of fear. You have to live in the spirit of love, power, love, and a sound mind. You're worried every time your child does something. Every time the phone rings, you worry that it's your child again. And if you've had those phone calls that are negative and you've had those phone calls where people have been hurt and things have gone wrong and it had to do with your child, every time the phone rings again, it will bring you a level of anxiety. I understand what you're going through, but baby, you can't live there. You can't live in that fear. You have to persevere through that fear. And here's the thing. This is the reason why you have the church. Sometimes you just got to call somebody up and tell them, listen, I'm worried about my baby. I know I shouldn't be worried about it, but I am. Would you pray with me about my child? My child's locked up. Would you pray that everything's okay? My child is here and there. Would you pray everything's okay? My child's in the air, and it's a storm in the air. Would you pray? That's what the church is there for. So we pray with each other. So we have to face our fears, but it's good if we do it together. Let's put this point up to help you understand the fear of a mother. So remember, we're dealing with being mom, pressures, fear, and joy. We'll get to the good part later. So a mother's love comes with a certain amount of fear because there's no telling the amount of sacrifice this kind of love will require. Here's the reason why it comes with a certain amount of fear, because what a mother understands and what a mother knows is when push comes to shove, I would hurt before I let them hurt. So even if they get themselves in a situation, I know it's going to affect me. Well, let me go back to the prison understanding again. And I know something about it because I had a brother that went to prison. And I know that my mother was different than my father and even me. She didn't care what he did, whether he deserved to be there or not. She wanted money on his books. If she had to come out of her own pocket, if she had to work some overtime, she wanted money on his books. And whatever she got to do to visit him, whatever she got to do to take off, this is what a mother knows. My love is a sacrificial love. So I fear and worry what they're going to get into because I know it's going to require me to step in the gap. And we need sometimes, we need to have that mindset as Christians, as intercessors, where we stand in the gap for people, not always judging them for what they've done and how they got where they got, but always being able to say, I'm going to step in as a lover and make up the difference. I will pray for you. I'll be stressed out with you. I'll stand where you are. I'll take on your burden because I have the kind of love that cares for other people. But when you're dealing with someone that has that level of a sacrificial love, you have to be careful what you drag them through because they're going to go through it. A mama going to go through it. So young men, let me tell you, the young men who have guns, be careful when and where you pull the trigger because whatever you do, you're going to drag mama in with it. If you get locked up, mama's getting locked up too. Not physically, but emotionally, she's getting locked up too. But on the flip side, if you are doing something positive, mama gets to enjoy that too. So help her come out of the fear by the decisions that you make. Now let's flip it all the way spiritually. What about God? Now God is not a God of fear, but what do we put God through just because we won't obey? We just won't do right. And many times God has worked all things to our good and we still blow it because we want to be stubborn and do our own thing. Let's stop dragging God through a bunch of junk because we want to do our own thing. Let's humble ourselves and bring ourselves down and say, God, your way, not my way. I'll do it your way, not my way. God, you know best. There's an old saying, Father knows best. And let me add this, Mother knows best. So I'm going to do it your way. And let me say it to you, young people, do it your parents' way because they know better than you know. All right, now we're going to give you a scripture and take it from the perspective of a mother's sacrificial love. And we'll see how it plays out in this story in Solomon. And then whenever I think about mothers, I always think about this story. So we're going to read it. Let's look at 1 Kings 3:16. Let me stop and point this out. Now, it says two prostitutes, which means they weren't living the best life, but they still were mothers. And let me say something to you. The church may have beat you up by the way your child came, where her baby came out of wedlock, but she's still a mama. She may not have made the best choices, but the moment, if God allows life to come in her belly, who are you to dog her out? Because God allowed life to be in her belly. And sometimes it is through the failure that teaches them how to be the woman they need to be. So this story is about two prostitutes. Let's look at verse 17.
One of them said, pardon me, my Lord. This woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me.
Let's read verse 18.
The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us.
So basically, it looks like they were in some type of brothel where they were living together working as ladies of the night. One lady gets pregnant. 3 days later, another one gets pregnant, and they both have end up having children. Let's look at verse 19.
During the night, this woman's son died because she laid on him.
For whatever reason, she rolled over, laid on him, and suffocated him. Let's read verse 20.
So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast.
She totally changed the narrative. Now, let me just jump on a quick rabbit trail. Sometimes the closest folk to you will do the dirtiest stuff to you. So you can't always trust folk, because when people get backed in a corner, and many times they'll just try to put it off on you. And that's why, I don't see that many young people here, so maybe I'm talking in TV land. That's why, young folk, you got to be careful what you're doing out in the streets, because you think that's your boy, that's your ace, that's your homie. But let y'all get in trouble. You'll find out who your homie is. You'll find that they'll snitch on you in a minute. They'll be the one who had the plan, and then they'll turn it and put it all on you. You have to be careful who you have sweet company with. That's just a rabbit trail I need to throw out there. Let's go to verse 21.
The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born.
So let me back up a little bit. The reason why this lady is telling this story is because Solomon was both king and judge. And so she was coming to plead her case. And she's saying, now wait a second. Now I know a dead baby is laying next to me, but I looked them over. Now I have had 3 children with my wife, and I've watched how my wife looks over the child once the child was born. She know what the baby looked like. A real mama going to examine the baby. And so this mama says, I looked this baby over in the light. See, there's some things I can be confused of as long as I'm in the dark. But when I'm in the light, I see things clearly. I'm saying that spiritually. You catch what I'm saying. Things in the dark look one way, but things in the light look something different. So she said, as I seen it in the light and examined it, this dead baby ain't my child. Let's look at verse 22.
The other woman said, no, the living one is my son. The dead one is yours. But the first one insisted, no, the dead one is yours. The living one is mine. And as they argued before the king.
So they were arguing before the king, and they were bickering back and forth, and it was not a he said, she said. It was a she said, she said. And Solomon's got to figure out whose baby is. I don't know whose child it is. I got to figure out which mother is telling the truth. All right, let's look at verse 23.
The king said, this one says, my son is alive and your son is dead, while that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive.
Here's the thing, and this is what mothers know, especially when they're dealing with children. Somebody did it. I don't know who did it, but I know I didn't do it. So somebody did it. And so that means somebody lying. Now my mother had the same mindset with me and my sister were living in a house, but she didn't have the wisdom of Solomon. So what she said, I'm whooping both of y'all. I don't know which one of y'all did it, but all I know is I didn't do it, so both of y'all getting in trouble. And one thing, I got tired of taking whoopings for Kelly, and Kelly got tired of taking whoopings for me. That was one way to fix it. Look, somebody lying. But let's think about, look and see what Solomon did. Let's look at verse 24.
Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword to the for the king.
Verse 25.
He then gave an order. Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other.
Now Solomon, who's supposed to be so wise, comes up with what seems like a crazy idea. I know what we need to do. Give me a sword. We already got one dead baby, so we're going to take the one that's alive, we're going to cut it in half and split it up. One person gets one half, the other person gets the other half. Let's look at verse 26.
The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't
One woman said, cut the baby in two. But one woman said, even if I have to put the baby in hands that I don't trust, don't harm the baby. I would rather the baby be living than the baby be dead. So even though I have to sacrifice, I would rather sacrifice than have my baby dead. Let's look at verse 27 and then I'll unpack it a little more. Verse 27.
Then the king gave his ruling. Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother.
She the mammy. She the real mama right there. And the reason why we know, because she was willing to sacrifice what was best for her for what's best for the child. And let me let you know something. There are mothers who have prayed for their children to be locked up because I'd rather have them locked up than have them dead. There's mothers who have prayed sacrificially and said, listen, I don't care if you don't talk to me again for the rest of your life. I'd rather have you living than have you dead. So God, whatever you got to do in their life, I'm willing, because a mother's sacrificial love says, I don't want the baby to lose his life. And you have to understand that a mother that loves, the reason why they love sometimes with fear, because they know when push comes to shove, they'll do the very thing that's against what they need for the sake of the child. Sometimes when I give my wife money, I have to beg her, don't spend none of it on the children. When we go somewhere, the first place she wanted to stop is children's place. There ain't nothing she can fit in children's place. Nothing I can fit in children's place. But she's not concerned about her. She's concerned about those babies. She's concerned about her children. And she doesn't want to have a fear that they are going to be without. So she would rather be without than have them without. I never understood having a mother who would look good and the babies look raggedy. That's not a mother who has the right mindset. I'd rather the mama look raggedy and the babies look good, because it shows sacrificial love. And here's the thing, there's no greater love than the sacrifice that God gave when he put his son on a cross for you and I. The Bible says that he had a one and only begotten son, but he gave his son because he wanted a family. The scripture says it this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so whosoever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You mean to tell me the only way I could have got everlasting life was God had to sacrifice his child? But he loved me so much that he said, I'm willing to give up my child for the sake of having more children. And the child who we call Jesus or Yeshua, which means the Lord saved, the child said, I'll go. I'll hang on the cross. I'm coming out of heaven, but they can stick me in a manger with swaddling clothes and I can live with the animals. I'll grow up and not be honored in my own hometown. Folk will lie on me and talk about me and stick me on a cross, but I'll do it because I love the people that I serve. God loves us like a mother loves, and he loves us to the point of doing what's hurtful to him for the sake of us. That's a real, real type of love. And so, mothers, I do understand the fear that you have, especially when your children start getting grown and start doing things, because you know whatever they do, you're going to foot the bill for it. You're going to foot the bill for it emotionally, many times financially and sacrificially. But I also want to tell you something, is sometimes you have to understand not just the fear, but the reason why sometimes the thought is coming, so you can stand up and say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Some of those things that are coming in your mind, I wonder if my child is, I wonder if my child is, I wonder if they're doing this, I wonder if they're doing that, I wonder about their sexuality, I wonder about who they're getting involved with. Instead of wondering, you need to start doing some rebuking. I plead the blood over my child. I declare my child will be what God says. Call their name out. Put oil, anointed oil on their bed and on their pillow and in their socks and in their shoes. And when you throw the Tide with bleach in there, throw some anointing oil in there and wash them clothes and trust God, because you can't do this by yourself. But you know a God that can watch over your children, angels watching over your children, protecting them when you can't be around them. And sometimes you got to be bold enough to say, God, when they taste the cocaine, don't let it taste right. When they taste the reefer, don't let it reef right. Don't let them get high like they used to get high. Don't let them let it feel like they used to feel. God, turn it around. You got to stand in the gap for your babies. And us church people who have gone through things and come on out on the other side, let's not forget what it's like to raise kids and be there with people when they go to the altar. Where she always coming to the altar talking about her kids. Yes, she's always coming to the altar talking about her kids because it pains her. So stand in and pray with her until she gets the deliverance for her children. Until her children are sitting in these pews, in these chairs with her. Keep praying with her until she gets what she believes. Well, her baby's locked up. Why should I be praying? Well, we pray that prison ministry will find them in the prison and they'll still get anointed and touched, and maybe the judge will see something and maybe they'll get released early. Just because they're locked up, we're not done praying for them. We still praying and believing God for them. Now, as your leader, sometimes I got to get on your children. Because I'm their pastor too. And sometimes I got to discipline them. And sometimes I got to talk tough to them. But that don't mean we don't love them. They still love. I don't care if they're not coming to church. They still love. I don't care if they're not here. They still love. We're still there for them. We're still believing for them. Maybe we just got to pray for them. But we're not letting you mothers do this by yourself. All right, let's close this way. Let's close with joy. All right, let's put the picture up of joy. This picture shows a mother and a baby in just a type of joyous mode. I actually chose this picture purposely because the other two pictures had black faces, but we don't just have black mothers. We have black and white mothers. There was an Asian picture I could have chosen, but we don't have any Asian members yet. So I chose this to let you know that we're not talking about just one race. We're talking about everybody. Everybody that is a mother, a part of Deliverance Temple, you are important. Black, white, rich, poor, it don't make a difference. You are an important mother to us. Amen. So we all want you to come to a certain joy. And as I was preparing this sermon, in my heart, I'm really thinking about those who are raising those adult children that are hard, sometimes hard to love and hard to deal with. And this joy that we're talking about, when you see that picture, it shows a young child. So sometimes young children bring you joy, but the older they get, they bring you sorrow. So what I'm believing is God is going to turn some of your adult children and your preteen children, all those children that are bringing you sorrow, God's going to reverse it, and you're going to start getting joy. The same joy you had when you first put them in your arms, you're going to get that joy again. That's what I'm believing for you, because you are not complete until your children are serving God the way you want them to. Now, let me throw a side note in. Don't expect them to serve God if you ain't really serving God. If you're playing games, don't expect them to look at your example and serve God. But I'm assuming that you're really going hard after God. And if you are, I want your children to be saved. And I want your children to be able to worship God with you. And even if they don't come to this church, I want them to be able somewhere where they're getting fed the word of God on a consistent basis. And they're growing in God. Amen. All right, let's go to this scripture. This is the scripture we're going to stand on for joy. Psalms 30 and 5.
For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
There may be a season and a moment of tearing and working with your children and going through both the pressures and the fears, but I'm here to let you know and announce to you, joy comes in the morning. I don't know when your morning is going to be, but joy is going to come. So basically, what God is saying to you, it won't be bad forever. It won't be hard forever. You won't be crying forever. You won't be challenged forever. You are going to have some seasons and moments of joy, and I need you to expectantly look for that and hope for that and believe for that. Don't get in the mindset that it's always got to be, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. I don't want to climb up the rough side of the mountain all my life. I want some blessings. I want some peace. I want some joy. Now, some of y'all climbed up the rough side of the mountain, but you at the top and you need some joy, some relaxation. You need some things to go in your favor. Everything ain't going to work all the time the way you want to. That's life. But that doesn't mean everything's got to always be bad. Let's get out of the mindset that it's always got to be bad. It's always got to be struggle. No, we need some joy. All right. Psalms 127:3. Here's one of the reasons why this is something for us to understand.
Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward.
Don't let the devil trick you. Your child is your reward. And so if your child is bringing you trouble now, based on the scripture, it's got to turn around till they bring you some reward. So keep believing and keep praying. Listen, we wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for my grandmother who prayed for my father when he was messing up, acting up, and wouldn't give up on him and invited him to church one last time. And the next thing you know, God starts working in his life in 1972. And the reason why I'm here is because she wouldn't quit. What if she got tired and what if she quit? You got to keep believing till joy comes. Do you understand that the whole entire ministry was birthed out of the fact that she would not stop praying for her child? So don't you stop praying for them. Don't you stop believing for them. If you gotta cry at night, that's okay. But weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. The morning has got to come. Night can't stay forever. And that's why the Bible says Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang praises at midnight. That means at the darkest part of the night, they started praising God. Because the darkest part of the night is also the beginning of the morning. You might be in a dark place with your children, but morning and daybreak is coming. So hold on and keep believing. Keep on praying. Keep on bringing your child to church. Keep on calling their name out. Keep on rebuking the devil. Keep on putting money in the offering. Keep on doing what God told you to do, because God gonna rest them babies. God gonna draw them to his side. God gonna deliver them. They gonna start walking in the crack house and get delivered in the crack house. God can do it, because joy is got to come in the morning. Now, if we want to be passive and we just want to lay around and say, well, yeah, whenever they come, they come. You want to do that? You can. Que sera, sera. Or you want to open your mouth and pray. Pastor, when you going to call a prayer meeting? I'm not going to call a prayer meeting. You ought to be praying at your house. You ought to have a prayer meeting every day of your life, because there's too much junk going in the world for you not to be praying. Open your mouth up and pray. What do you mean? Let me give you an example. I declare that there's not a bullet in this world that has my child's name on it. Every bullet that is assigned for my child, I curse it in the name of Jesus. I curse the molester's hand in the name of Jesus. I curse police brutality in the name of Jesus over my child. I curse addiction over my child. I curse my child losing their mind. I curse something happening in school over my child. I stand in the gap and I pray for my child, because joy is going to come in the morning. And as long as your children are still young, bring them babies here. Sit them in these pews if you have to. Bring them here. I don't care if they're playing Cocoa Melon and something while they're here. Let that stuff get in their psyche. The reason why I am how I am and who I am is because I have a drug problem. I was drugged to church. I was drugged to Sunday school. I was drugged to Friday night. I was drugged to Sunday night. And since I was there, something got in my spirit. And while I was somewhere drinking wine and tequila, God stepped in the middle of my hangover and said, one day you're going to preach my word. I thought I was getting away from God, but God was putting his hooks in me and snatched me out of sin and brought me to the place I'm in. Don't give up on your children. And here's the reason why. Let's continue to read. We're going to drop down into Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, toward the end of it.
Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her.
So here's the thing. Right now, this is Mother's Day, and y'all getting y'all flowers, and y'all getting y'all praise. But we want to come a day where we don't have to wait till Mother's Day for you to start to get your praise. The scripture says when you are a virtuous woman, your children rise up and call you blessed. In other words, as they grow up, they start realizing how special you really are. So they may not be old enough yet,
to be grateful for you. But there's going to come a day where they're going to rise up and they're going to say, man, I had a good mama. And while I got the mic, let me say it right now. I had a good mama. I have a good mama. A good mama. A mama that's been there thick and thin. And one thing I made up in my mind once I really got saved, I said, I can't always do everything I want to do for her. But one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to stay out of trouble so I don't have to put any pressure on her. Now, I may be wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. Since I started working, I have never come back and asked her, could I borrow some money from her? I don't think I have. Because I'm trying to say it's the season where I should be giving to her instead of always her giving to me. And let me talk to you, adult grown children. Stop borrowing money from mama. She done her job. You need to be giving money back to her and saying, I bless you, mama. Not just on Mother's Day. Take her out some other day, not just for her birthday, but because she's your mother and you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. But when you become a virtuous woman, they rise up, they grow up, and they call you blessed in the husband. And even not just natural children, but spiritual children will rise up. There's so many people that love Mother Rankin. So many people that love Mother Mitchell. There's so many people that love them because as you grow up, you see the importance of these women in our lives. All right, let's look at verse 29. Verse 29 back there. Beyonce may have a fine shape, but you surpass all of them. I don't care what they do on the TV screen. I don't care what the Kardashians do. Let me talk to you, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized women. You surpass them all. I don't care how much money they got. I don't care what car they drive, what house they live in. You surpass them all. You are somebody because you are noble, righteous, virtuous, powerful woman. And I want to speak into your life. You are somebody special. Let me jump on somebody real quick. Sister Frances, the name that me and my wife and our children call, we call her Miss Ball after Ball Foundation and Ball State and Ball Corporation. In other words, we're saying you a special somebody. So let me say it to you, a special somebody. I call you blessed. I call you awesome. Sister Ella, I call you blessed. You're special somebody. Sister Kelly, I call you blessed. You're special somebody. Sister Hattie, I call you blessed. You're special somebody. Sister Sharita, I call you blessed. You're special somebody. Sister Anitra, I call you blessed. You're special. You are some special somebody. Sister Annette and Sister Reva, all you mothers, I love all y'all. Y'all are some special, awesome, amazing people because you've given your life over to God. You're like a diamond set into a jewel. Let me be crass just for a moment. Diamonds are amazing. But if I put diamond and I put it in the middle of some horse manure and you got to go through the horse manure to get the diamond, you'd be like, dang, I want the diamond, but do I got to go through all that to get to the diamond? But if I put the diamond and set it in gold and hand it to you, it's much better. And I'm letting you know, you're not a diamond in the rough. You're not a diamond in manure, but you're a diamond set in gold. You're the apple of God's eye. And I don't care what man didn't see your value. He's a fool if he didn't see your value. He's an idiot if he didn't see how special you are. Because you're connected to God, you are somebody. Last two verses. I'm not saying that y'all not beautiful. I'm not saying you're not as beautiful as the Beyoncés of the world. But here's the thing. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fading. Things will sag and things will shift and things will move. And if you don't have a plastic surgeon, you can't look like everybody else look like. But I need to let you know, don't worry about that because your beauty comes from the inside. Your beauty just ain't what you have on the outside. It's not your Louis Vuitton purse and your red bottom shoes. It's the joy of the Lord that's down in your spirit. It's the fact that you have rivers of living water flowing out of you. That's what makes you who you are. And that's why the woman at the well didn't know who she was until God told her, I'll give you something that you'll never thirst again. I'm going to put something down on the inside of you. And I need to tell tell you, because you fear the Lord and because you serve the Lord, you are somebody awesome. With the fears and the pressure, but also with the joy. All right, last verse, Proverbs 31, 31. Right now, I'm taking this moment to honor you for what you have done, for the mothers you have been. But I'm praying that this won't be the last time you get honored. I'm praying that favor would hit your house and favor would hit your life and stuff would happen that you can't explain and that you can't understand. Blessings that are come, like Mother Woods would say, blessings come out of the woodwork like roaches come out of the woodwork. I want blessings just to come out of your life and just, you don't even know what's going on. I want blessings to run you down and overtake you. I want you to have the honor that you deserve because you went through the pressure. You went through the fear, and it's time for you to receive the joy. Come on, if you believe it, just come on, clap your hands. And I'll close by saying this. Men, God has set men as leaders. So if God is blessing the women, guess what? The leader's going to get blessed too. So let's stick by our ladies. Let's stick by our mothers. Let's be the best we can for them. Because when God bless them, everybody's going to get blessed. All right, being mom, the pressures, the fears, and the joys of motherhood. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, praise you, love you, and honor you, God. Thank you for giving me this message specifically for the mothers, but it relates to all of us because you have that great, awesome, agape motherly love, and you poured it out on us, and you've called us your children, but then you give us the right to grow up to be sons and daughters of you. You give us the right to mature into you, and as we mature into you, we are willing to go through the pressure, the pain, the fear to get to the joy. And I declare joy would come. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And this joy that we have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Now, Father God, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that is not saved, I pray that they would pray these words. Father God, come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me. Shower your motherly love on me. And I'll serve you to the day I die. And meet with you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Come on, we want to say God bless you all. You are dismissed. God bless you. We love you, mother.